Hello everyone, this is Adam from Zelda Working Title Podcast. I hope you are all doing well. I would like to take this time and inform you that this podcast contains some suggestive material and situations. Suggestive material includes moments in which we use language such as and or. Please be aware that such moments may be present in this podcast. Thusly, listener discretion is advised. Please also be aware that use of such language is used in a completely friendly and joking manner, as Zelda Working Title Podcast does not condone being mean or impolite to anyone, anywhere, at any time. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic day and enjoy the podcast. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. This is episode 8, June 27th. So this is actually one that we've done a week right after the other one. That's a first, I believe. So today we've got Matt.
Hello.
Laura.
Hello.
Alex.
Scrotum.
And of course, there is myself, Adam. So we're going to start off.
I can set that. You don't have to.
Well, I'm going to say
hello,
it again.
I'm Adam, and I'm also here, and my name is still Adam.
I like hearing myself talk. How about that?
It could have changed. You never know.
Yeah. Could be a different person.
Fucking
retarded. Could be a different reality all of a sudden. We don't really know.
Adam has multiple personality disorder, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could have been like Sliders. We could have slid over to a different universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anywho. We're going to start off with what we've been playing. It should be pretty short since it's only been a week. Who wants to start?
I will.
Okay.
I have, for the past at least half an hour, I've been playing Ocarina of Time. tried to make it through the Forest Temple. It's a piece of shit. Confusing. This week. Oh, and you know what? No, I played some games from my iPhone. I illegally downloaded a bunch of games. And let me give a quick couple-second reviews. Underworlds is a Diablo clone. It's okay, but kind of really confusing controls, actually. You tap to move like you would click a mouse, but it's not accurate at all. Xenonia, which is an RPG that's kind of like Zelda.
Xenonia?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're thinking when they named it that either. It's okay. I mean, it's got pretty simple graphics. They're nice, but they could do better on the iPhone. And then I got The Sims 3, which is all the monotony of The Sims now on your fucking phone. I don't know why you want this shit. Just call somebody and ask them if they're taking a shit.
Why
so in
did
other
you
words,
download
you're really,
it then?
So in other words, you're in real life because you're using your phone and
playing
on your PC. And you're playing another life.
Yes.
In the alternate. Yeah. That's
well, what I like to do is I like to go out. I just go somewhere like a bus stop and play The Sims 3 where I'm at a house that I've designed to look exactly like my house. And then it's just like I'm back at home, and it just makes me, you know, makes me want to go back home and have.
Is it like a life? Is it like a life simulator in terms of like you try, you have a decision to make in real life, like do I go to the store or do I go to the movies? And you do it on The Sims to see what happens.
To see how it works out. And then I'm like, oh fuck, my guy has to go to the bathroom, but he's at the movies. He can't manage both at the same time, and he just dies.
And then you're like, I'll do the other thing because then I won't die.
Yeah. But then it turns out I die that way too, and then I never leave my house.
Fair enough.
So you should get the game.
It's like a fortune teller.
If you can illegally download, jailbreak your phone, illegally download all the games you want, then you never have to worry about buying them.
God.
Perfect.
Because iPhone games...
Zelda Working Title Podcast does not endorse illegal activities.
I do.
Matt does.
All right, what else?
Working Title Podcast. Working Title Podcast does not... All right, whatever.
Laura, what have you been doing?
I beat Eternal Sonata, and it had the worst ending to a video game ever.
Oh, why? Did it turn out it was Japanese RPG
not Eternal?
After all?
Have you guys played? Have you played this game?
You want to hear a funny joke? It's like Final Fantasy. Why do they keep making more? I thought it was a final one.
Do you actually know why they called it Final Fantasy?
I thought it was just last game. Yeah, I thought it was
okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Anyways, Laura, continue. Why was it a bad ending? Tell us.
Because it was all ended up being a dream. Like, the whole game was a dream. It's like,
was it a wet
know.
Dream?
And you... No. No.
You want to know what I call it when I ejaculate? When I'm taking a short sleep? I call it a wet nap.
Oh, God.
Stupid.
Oh, my God. That's good.
Can we please go 5 minutes without talking about ejaculation or... Come on.
But that's pretty good. That's clever, right? You guys can use that one.
Ever...
Oh, God.
Okay.
Anyways, oh, is that it? Okay. Alex.
I'm actually going through Twilight Princess again.
Yay.
I want to take a break from Punch-Out, and yeah, I really love it. I forgot to reset my TV, though. It does help. They have some settings that
you
should
mean?
Set up to actually make your controls better. I think that's what a lot of people's problems are if they have controller issues. But yeah,
like what? I haven't heard of controller issues.
I know people were saying that some people were saying the waggle wasn't working too well or whatnot. I think they weren't set. They either aren't fit people that need to work out a little bit, or they didn't set the TV correctly. They didn't set up the bar and the TV correctly. So, but it does display how far the cursor is from the screen and so forth, so you can actually adjust that in-game.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, me neither. Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Alright, cool. Well, I started playing The Conduit yesterday, and I beat it today.
Oh, that's short?
What, are you serious?
Yeah, it took me 5 hours, 17 minutes to beat.
Oh,
holy
wow.
Shit.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure what I think about this game yet. Obviously, I'm gonna play it over again. I think I'm gonna play it on a harder difficulty. Although I think I was on like normal, or like the equivalent of normal. I think there's like maybe 7 different difficulties. I don't know. There's a lot, but
really,
yeah. Even what I was playing on, there were some parts that were just like ridiculously hard. But I'm going to bump it up and see how it is. I think part of my problem might be that I set my controls really, like, I set them the way I would set, like, an FPS on PC, so I have, like, the sensitivity really, really high, and the turning really, really high, and the bounding box, like the dead zone, where you start actually turning your character. Actually, I think I set that back to default, but I think, like, I'm going to have to not try to play it like it's a PC game, and play it, you know, like it's a Wii game. So I'm holding a Wiimote rather than using a mouse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like you would be able to interchange them, but I don't know. It doesn't feel right. Like,
you need
I'm
a little
playing,
bit. Of,
so
I think you need
I'm
a little bit of dead zone,
more.
Just because the sensitivity is so hot. Because your hand does shake
yeah.
a little bit.
I mean, you can set the sensitivity. There are a ton of settings. I will give it that. You can customize everything. Everything in that game. You can customize the placement of the HUD. You can customize the transparency of the HUD. You can customize every single button on the Wiimote and Nunchuck. Oh, and that's another thing, is that personally I think there's too many controls for the Wiimote and Nunchuck. So every button is used, plus there are two motion controls, I think. You shake the nunchuck and you jab the Wiimote. Those are defaulted to jabbing the Wiimote is like a melee, and shaking the nunchuck is throwing a grenade. But like I said, you can customize everything.
That's pretty
So that's
cool.
really cool. You can
Is it worth it?
customize.
Is it worth the money that you paid for it?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I mean, I haven't really messed with the online. I played one game online last night, and it was like a capture the flag sort of game, and it was really, really hard. And my team was sucking really badly. It was like 5-0. But I think I joined mid-game, which was kind of cool. I haven't messed with the WeSpeak yet, although I think you can only use the WeSpeak with the people you've registered as friends,
Oh,
which is something I
that's
thought
actually
was
really nice.
interesting. Well, I thought that the game had gotten rid of friend codes, but apparently it didn't. I think it's just you can play random people and you can play with your friends. So it's kind of like an integration of both.
Okay.
What else? Oh. I also wanted to mention last week, I believe I said that the Conduit uses the WiiMotion Plus. It does not. They said that it was going to, but I think like a week ago or like a few days before the game actually came out, they said that they took away the WiiMotion Plus controls because it didn't really add anything to it. However, they are going to use it for the sequel, so they say. And yes, there is going to be a sequel. If you can't tell from playing through the story, then take the developer's word for it. Oh, one more thing. Apparently, there is a collector's edition that is exclusive to GameStop. So if you don't have the game and you want the collector's edition, it's the same price as the normal edition. It comes with a little art book, two promotional codes that actually I wanted to tell you. And then it came with something else, but it's the same price as the normal one. It's ex yeah, excuse me, exclusive to GameStop, and it's got a cool cover.
And if you
So let
trade
me.
in 300 games, then you get the conduit for only $14.95.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let me get the box real quick, and I will tell you guys the codes.
For what? Alex, are you
Yeah,
still
I'm still
here?
here. I'm just
Okay,
robbing myself.
I'm back. Great. Thanks for sharing. Okay, so these codes come exclusive to the collector's edition. So in case you didn't get that, new ASE, new has a capital N, and ASE is capital as well. So it's new ASE 11. You just type that into the promotional code on the main menu. And then also suit MP. S in suit is capital, as well as the M and P. So it's suit MP 13. New ASE will get you a
New
campaign
ass.
mission, and suit MP 13 is going to get you a special suit that you can play
Wait,
online.
they're taking out part of the campaign?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
That's retarded.
Yeah, wheel. So I think that's all I wanted to say about
Have you
that.
guys heard about that new ketchup-based first-person shooter coming out called The Condiment?
Nice.
Oh, that was
Very
terrible.
clever.
I've been saving that one the entire time.
Okay, I can just imagine. I can just imagine.
Anyways.
I want to say it. I want to say it. I want to say it.
Should I say it? Should I say it? Not yet. Not
That's
yet.
ex
It's
well,
not
I've been
always done.
waiting for you. I didn't want to steal, like, because after I. Nothing you could say would be interesting.
Well, it's a good thing I'm done then. Thank you for waiting.
You're welcome.
Okay, so new gaming releases. Obviously, The Conduit, and I also wanted to mention Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is not out. Last week we said it was out, but it was supposed to come out June 29th, which is 2 days from now. However, somebody, I'm not sure who, they've said that it's not coming out June 29th, so they've pushed it back about a month. So that was why
Oh, that
none of
sucks.
us
You're
have
a
played
liar,
it.
Adam.
Yeah,
You're a
yeah.
liar. I
You're a liar.
had all this money set aside for it, too.
Well, now you have to
Oh,
wait
well.
just an extra month. Not that long.
But I want to know how's Captain Marvel going to do against Captain Capcom?
Well, you'll just have to wait. Wait and see. All right, moving on. Gaming news. Going to start out with weekend deals. Steam is offering Xenoclash for $9.99. Walmart, you can buy a system and you get to pick a free title, but the titles are obviously from a select list, so they may or may not be good titles.
Fusion Frenzy 2.
Woo. Newegg, you get $10 off XBLA Gold subscription, and they're selling the PS3 DualShocks for $12 off. And also, Red Faction Guerrilla is $39.99 for 360 and PC. Amazon is selling the 360 wireless adapters for $76.99. And I'm not sure if other places are doing this, but I went to Best Buy this weekend, and they had 60 gig 360s for $300. And wow. 80 gig PS3s for $400.
Well, they're trying to get rid of them.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that's Best Buy exclusive or if that's everywhere.
That's amazing that PS3s discounted are still way too fucking expensive.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do a price cut pretty soon, though, aren't they?
No, they're not. There was a statement on that recently that said when a bunch of little things happen, I forget what they were, but Kotaku had an article on it. It was like, once these things align, then maybe they'll do a price cut. So, I think it's up to the retail stores to give us deals until that happens.
But that's bad for them. I mean, that's bad for the retail stores.
For Sony?
It's a reflection. Oh. It's a reflection that
right.
If Sony can't drop their own price and the retail stores have to do it, the retail stores aren't selling very well. They have to get rid of their...
Well, I mean, if they drop the price and make a bunch of money off of it, then that's certainly better than not making any money off of them without a cut price.
True, but they still... They cut it off of their own bottom line then. It's, you know,
right.
And so Sony is... It's not looking very good for Sony if retail stores have to actually start cutting the price of their product. Anytime right. anybody cuts the price
okay,
of the product...
Alex. All right, wait, Alex.
Sorry.
Wait.
Sorry.
Not there yet.
All right, man.
All right, Ikarian Kindred Spirits, it's an upcoming WiiWare game. Apparently they had to change the name because of a trademark claim by a video game company. The company that's making Ikarian said it's not Nintendo, but some people still think it is just because of the similarity with Kid Icarus.
You know what they changed it to is Super Ikario Brothers.
No, they changed it. They changed it to Nyx Quest Kindred Spirits, NYX. Capital Q Quest, Nyx Quest.
I like my joke better than
yeah,
the real.
I think yours sounded better. Anyways, Metroid Prime Trilogy. They released the box art. It looks very, very pretty. You should look for it online. It's a collector's edition style. It's got a transparent sleeve that covers a metal casing. And if you haven't seen it, you can check it out on Kotaku, and I'm sure a ton of other places have it.
It looks very nice.
Mm-hmm. And so I was searching the web for some stuff for my iPhone, and I found that, I don't know how old this is, but somebody hacked Ocarina of Time so that you can play four-player multiplayer. You can do co-op and versus, and you can play as different characters.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the link is pretty long, so I think if I can, I'm just going to include the link in the comments on the podcast to save time.
No, because I do that and I don't want to. I don't want that in there.
Well, then no one's going to know. Just search for it online.
Matt doesn't like to type.
Yeah. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was on Jimmy Fallon a few nights ago. I believe he was on there twice. The first time they played Tiger Woods 2010 on Wii with the Wii Motion Plus, Jimmy Fallon beat Tiger Woods, and then Tiger came back another time, and he won by a one stroke. So I just thought that was interesting.
You know, it's funny, is that Tiger gives me so much woods, it only takes a one stroke to get me off.
You just started.
You're on a roll tonight.
Swear,
these are
God,
so
Matt. You're so good. You're so
you
retarded.
So,
so funny
forced.
To me, though.
You sound so.
Oh my God. Just keep going out.
Next, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Smash Up. It's the new TMNT game made by the people who did Smash Brothers Brawl. There's a new trailer out, in which they introduce, I think, four characters, and they're pretty much introducing them the same way that they introduced the Brawl characters, like, oh, now newcomer, Raphael, newcomer, I don't know, whoever else it was.
Did you see that they remade the arcade version?
Wait, really?
Ninja Turtles?
For the 360 and PS3?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it was for both of those. Remember the arcade version?
There were a bunch of arcade versions.
The
very first one.
Yeah.
The side-scrolling one, like the really good one. Yeah. They remade that with like cel-shaded graphics.
Oh, really?
Cool. I'm pretty sure. I'm a pathological liar too, just to let you know. But anyways.
Are you lying about
I'm
that?
A scatological liar.
God, Matt, what is your deal tonight?
PSP Go. A representative from Sony has explained that it's so expensive because you are paying for a premium. So basically, you're paying so much because the console is new.
You're paying so much because it's Sony.
Well, it's like...
Can we argue now? Can we?
No, not yet. Not
having
yet.
A PSP Go is like
Alex
driving...
Is dying.
Yeah, I know.
Having a PSP Go driving a Lamborghini, like, it's so nice. Like, everyone will just, you know... It's a fashion statement.
Yeah, if you have one, you're like... You're rich.
Everyone's like, oh my god, a fucking PSP Go. That guy's loaded.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. He's got a PSP Go.
Yes, I download all his games.
Square Enix put a countdown up on their site. The countdown is going to end July 6th. People are thinking that it may be related to the Four Warriors of Light trademark that Square Enix made recently. So I guess in like a week we'll find out exactly.
I think they're
going to
surprise us and release Final Fantasy 13 that day.
What the fuck is with companies releasing countdowns? What, like, who the fuck? They never lead to anything. I've never seen one of those countdowns end in like, oh, you know, here it is. Here's a new
game.
It's always like, oh yeah, it turns out that we're developing Final Fantasy 14. Here's a new teaser trailer or something.
And
like, who gives a shit?
At least put down the song of the final countdown while you're doing it.
Exactly.
Nice, nice. Anyways. Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver is dated for Japan. It's going to be September 12th, and as of now, it's the equivalent of 50 American dollars in Japan. So that would be...
for a DS game?
50,000 yen. Yes.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, not 50,000, 5,000. My bad. upcoming Uncharted movie. I thought that was kind of funny because last week I mentioned that the trailer for Uncharted 2 looked like a movie, and then I found out that they are actually making a movie. So Columbia Pictures is going to be in charge of that.
Who would play the?
So
who's going to
we'll
play the lead character in that movie? Who's going to be?
We do not know yet.
I am, guys.
Jamie
Foxx. Same thing. They called me today and asked me if I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And you said yes.
His name is, what is his name? Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said I'm a little too... My build is a little too athletic. They said I'm going to actually have to slim down a little bit because I'm
eat
just
some
too...
Eat pizza or something.
God, Matt. So fit.
And the problem is they wanted me to wear these kind of tight pants and see the outline of my penis. And
they can enhance that. Or, I'm sorry, unenhance that.
Yeah, so
they can
CGI
for
that
crap.
Yeah, CGI.
Right, exactly.
They're going to have to tape my dick to my leg.
It's my second gun.
Matt. Sega handheld. They're re-releasing the Sega handheld that could... It was basically the Genesis handheld. It was called the Nomad at the time. They're re-releasing it as the Retro Gen, and it's coming out by a hardware company, Enix. It's going to be able to play all Genesis and Mega Drive games, as well as some downloadable games that you can play on an SD card. It's coming out July 25th, and it's going to be $50. Wii Sports Resort. If you haven't seen these already, IGN has a bunch of clips with hands-on play, so those are pretty cool. Transformers DS game. There are two versions of this, Autobots and Decepticons, and depending on which one you buy, it helps the online stats. So basically what that is
my
if
God,
you hook...
That
you
is
hook...
so cool.
Oh, God.
Which
it
one are
really
you
going to
get mad at?
Play as Megan Fox.
No.
Can I play as Coonbots?
Maybe. There might be a code to unlock.
Hey,
but oh god. Anyways, so what you do, you hook up your game to Nintendo Wi-Fi, and depending on which version you have, it counts towards the total count for either Autobots or Decepticons. And so right now, worldwide, Autobots are winning.
Yes!
I wonder why. Yeah, because fucking more people want to praise the good
Autobots
guys.
Are cool.
Well, Hasbro actually released something, I think, after the release of the first Transformers DS game, that Transformers fans are basically split 50-50. And it is actually really close for the second game.
Well, here is the thing, is that three people bought the game, and mm-hmm. two of them...
There you go.
Stupid.
That explains it.
I'm going to go out and buy it.
You play that game online, it should have a voice filter, and so if you're playing as the racist robots, it should automatically make you sound like a minstrel performer.
Oh. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about Transformers 2, the movie, real quick. What'd you guys think about it?
Why would I... It insults me that you would assume that I'd ever go see that piece of shit.
Did you not?
Matt didn't see it. Matt and Alex didn't see it.
No,
and
we
Adam
didn't
did
really? See it. No, but
oh, I thought both of you guys saw it. All right. Well, Laura, what did you think of it?
It was all right. It wasn't as bad as a lot of people are saying, but it was not. It definitely was not good. I guess
it had like a 22% Rotten Tomatoes. I can't imagine it being
really.
I mean, it wasn't. Oh, wow. It wasn't. I'm glad that I only spent $5 on it. I would have been really pissed if I spent like $10 to get into the movie.
Because one of the people at the board was saying, we had this discussion on the board about Snakes on a Plane. You know, people went to watch that. That was purposely a bad movie. People watched that movie because it was bad. You're going into Transformers 2 thinking it's going to be actually good, and instead you realize Michael Bay wrote it and he likes writing about boobs and explosions.
Yeah, if you look at a movie poster and it says a Michael Bay film.
Yeah.
That should be your first clue that you shouldn't go anywhere near this movie. Like, I would even know, like, I don't know, there's no comparison to, I don't know. He's not going to pull any surprises. He's never going to surprise anyone. He's going to make shitty movies till the day he dies. When a boob explodes and kills him.
You guys think that, do you think there's going to be a third one?
Yeah, definitely.
They're going to milk the franchise, but I don't think the sales of this one are going to be good in the long term.
Oh, I think they are.
I don't know.
Keyword is long term, I think.
Okay, long term. Okay, maybe. Okay, no, not long term.
I think the first two weekends will do well, but then afterwards people are going to be like, this is complete crap, and they're not going to go watch it.
I think it's going to make more than they spent on it.
No, that always happens to good movies, though. Like Watchmen only made, like, it had a great opening weekend, and then nobody saw it after that.
Really?
Yeah. That made me mad, because the movie was awesome.
It was good. So, I saw Transformers opening night. I enjoyed watching it, but there were definitely parts that could have been better. I don't know.
There are a lot of
parts
that could have been better.
Yeah, I think I'm going to see it again.
The part right after the trailers end and the part right before the That space exactly. in between could have been a lot better.
All right, so moving on. Let's talk about Michael Jackson. As I'm sure everybody knows, he is no longer with us.
What?
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 Yeah, so, Michael Jackson's dead. He died, what, 2 days ago?
Yes. On the same day as Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah. From cardiac arrest.
Did you guys hear that Farrah Fawcett's family was actually angry that Michael Jackson died the same day as her? Because it took her off the front page, I swear.
Right.
They were mad about that.
That sucks.
Well,
I was really upset by Farrah Fawcett because just all of her material is just, it's been so...
I know.
You know, all
she's,
her
she's
body
a big part
of work.
Of life.
Yeah, if you look back at everything she's done, you're like, now that was a career. Like that poster she did where her nipples were poking out. There you go. That was her career.
She was a Charlie's Angel.
Right.
She went off.
Yeah, but
she
anyways,
was off,
we're not talking about
Farrah.
Who cares
end,
about
too.
Farrah?
What was that,
we're
Laura?
About,
she had ass cancer.
We're not talking about Farrah. We're talking about Michael Jackson. Who cares about Farrah?
Yeah, guys, come on.
Michael Jackson.
She's not front page.
It's great. Yeah. Talk about it.
Matt, don't start crying again.
He did before we started.
We just got you calmed down.
No, for real though, Off the Wall is, I think, one of the best albums of all time. Thriller is awesome. He did a lot of awesome stuff, but he has not done anything good since about 1985, I think. I'm not exactly sure on the dates, but around then. So, while it's sad that somebody died, I'm not really personally affected by it. I don't think he was going to put out an album next year that was going to blow my mind or anything.
No, his death is like Elvis's death, and his presence was like Elvis's presence. I think he defined a generation, yeah. Basically. For better or for worse, that's what people are going to remember about Michael Jackson.
That is true, but the thing is that he didn't die during his prime or even near his prime.
Oh, that's true.
Neither did Elvis, did he?
No, Elvis didn't die in his prime either, but these guys, they did what they did, and it's sort of a shame. It's sort of a shame that they did die past their prime, almost, I guess. It's sort of a horrible thing to say, but there's a Neil Young song where the lyrics are, it's better to burn out than to fade away. You have an example like Jimi Hendrix, who just died in his prime, and you wonder what it could be like. And you see an example like Michael Jackson, where he just sort of faded away.
To see his bad albums.
Not even his albums, just what he turned into. A very crazy hypochondriac. He did a lot of good things, though. He devoted a lot of money to charities, and I think he was a genuinely good person. But he was just fucking batshit crazy. And
he was
will
crazy,
say,
yeah.
Yeah, he was just a little off. Yeah.
A little.
A little.
Michael Jackson made some awesome music. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing.
He'll live on in the music forever.
Definitely.
R.I.P.
100 years from now, we're going to be listening to Michael Jackson in heaven.
I'm going to still be alive. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, right.
Well, if you guys watch those TES talks, Aubrey de Grey says we could live to be 900 years old.
900?
Exactly.
He's got a big fucking beard, so.
That's awesome. I want to be 900 years old.
Did you guys watch that? I posted it on the board.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, watch the one I posted. That's the best one.
Okay.
Because it was my favorite, so it's obviously the best.
All right. So, moving on. We are going to talk about today the state of the video gaming industry. I think what we're going to start off with is basically just talking about our impressions of this year's E3 and what the three companies showed for motion controls. So obviously, Nintendo with the Wii Motion Plus, Microsoft with Project Natal, and Sony with their wands.
The dildos.
Yeah.
Laura, you've got a couple of wands lying around your room, don't you?
Yeah, that's none of your business, Matt.
Oh.
Sony's... I think Laura's are better because I don't think Sony's vibrate.
Well, they couldn't get the patent for them. For the Rumble.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
So I think the first thing to really note, it really seems like Nintendo's won it in terms of the ideological stance.
Especially because the other two companies are now doing what Nintendo said they were going to do 2 years ago.
Yeah,
right.
And it's something...
Nintendo didn't only win it, they invented it.
Right.
Well, the thing is, it could have bombed, right? So Nintendo took a very big risk. They had an ideological change, basically, and they decided, we'll go this direction. What I think is really interesting is that a lot of people, when Nintendo came out with their idea, people that don't have much of an imagination said this is going to be complete crap. And even within the first year, people were saying, this is a gimmick. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, your big boy companies, your big boy Sony, your big boy Microsoft, have to come out with something. And they're trying to get in on this market. They sort of see this future. So the gamer reaction hasn't really been all that negative. I mean, I figured people would be saying, well, this is a gimmick because it's basically the same damn thing. But nobody's actually really said anything like that. Nobody's said...
Said anything about Sony and Microsoft's?
Yeah. Actually, the gamer reaction has been really positive to Sony and Microsoft's, which is weird.
Because you hear so much crap about Nintendo.
Well, Nintendo's
still
getting crap. Yeah, Nintendo's crap is, well, why didn't they come out with the Wii Motion Plus earlier? Well, they were...
That is kind of a legitimate question.
I don't know. But... I don't really know if it's that... I don't know how legit that really is.
And... Because they probably didn't have the technology earlier. Like, they hadn't invented it yet.
I think some of it may have been that they may not have wanted to spend all this extra money researching if this platform wasn't going anywhere.
Well, I think the other thing is that it didn't require it for all their games anyway. Most of the games that they were originally coming out with didn't need the Wii Motion Plus. Now they're starting to come out with games that they require it, but there's a couple of advantages for them to wait a little bit and come out with a separate accessory. First off, it's cheaper to make now, right? So the controller is cheaper to make, and the system itself is cheaper to make. So they'll still make a profit off of it. But the other advantage is, you know, if the Wii didn't take off, they would have had to go another direction. And so, since that risk is down now, they can make these more advanced games require better motion capture. Mm-hmm. They still probably have the cheapest alternative, though. Microsoft's is going to be quite expensive.
Well, but Sony's here's the other thing, is that you said you made a good point about risk. Nintendo took a big risk by, the Wii is their it's their only console. And the controller is part of the console.
Yeah.
That's all they had. I mean, when they came out with the Wii, if it would have been a bomb, they couldn't have been like, here's another one.
The GameCube 3. They would have
been in deep shit. Okay,
right.
What happens if the Natal and the Sony Wong fails?
Nothing.
Like, they lose a little bit of money. And I think that's the whole point, is because these are throwaway things... Nintendo had to they needed a reason for you to buy the Wii, which was Wii Play and Wii Fit and stuff like that. That's
Sony.
Why people bought Wii. Why are people going to buy...
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Matt.
No, well, why are people going to buy the Natal? To play Milo? Like, nobody wants to play that.
Well, I don't think people are going to... Go ahead, Laura.
Are Sony and Microsoft making games that... require these controllers, or
probably?
Yeah,
they're
making
games really
specifically.
Yet.
Okay, let's be realistic about that. You think they're just gonna be like, okay, Halo 4 is, you're gonna fucking look around in the game. Maybe they'll have stuff like that, but the main thing is they're gonna be. It's just like the iToy. Sony has already had the iToy out, and it was a piece of shit. And it's the exact same thing. Is they wanted to capture this new market, do this new thing. But they didn't do anything with it.
So are you saying that you think both of these are just going to be peripherals that aren't required by the majority of games?
Yes. Probably. Yeah. It's a gimmick in the truest sense of the word. Nintendo's controller isn't a gimmick. It is
it's the
console.
Yeah, it's actually a great idea. It's actually something new. And it's something they force upon the player. I mean, they force upon a group of people.
It's not like you can make Wii games without using the Wiimote, really. It comes with the console. It is the controller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this Natal and the Sony Wand isn't going to be the controller. It's going to be something you have to buy for extra money, which, the most consumers aren't going to go for it.
It's an alternative.
Do you guys think that that Sony and Microsoft are going to have on their next gen consoles is going to be the motion controller that comes with the
probably.
You know what I mean?
Probably.
Like,
but we're talking. And
you think
is,
so?
This is one of the biggest disadvantages Sony and Microsoft have because you don't.
Well, no. Sony already has the 6-axis is already a motion controller, but it's
a shitty motion controller.
It's, yeah.
But in terms
yeah.
of
is the DualShock 3 does that have tilt sensitivity?
Probably.
Laura, do you have DualShock 3s?
No, I don't.
Well, you should because they're better.
Well, okay, thanks, Adam.
Like, what does even matter? What games have you played where you're like, oh, man, this game has great
tilting
controls?
Well, that Dragon Rider game a couple years ago, and that ended up being complete crap.
What was the...
yeah.
Like, the first... One of the first games that came out was, like, MotoStorm?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I played that at Best Buy while I was waiting for my Wii on their PS3, and that used the tilt controls.
Did it work?
Kinda.
Exactly.
No,
it's one of those things that
the tilt controls suck.
It's one of those things.
The tilt controls suck with it.
Yeah,
really.
It's something that requires high amounts of accuracy. It's mm-hmm. the moment that you have no accuracy on it, then those games instantly fail.
Do you guys remember?
There was.
Go ahead, Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was just saying I played Grand Theft Auto 4 and for the PS3, and you had an option of using the tilt controls for like driving the car and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't even know why. If somebody decided to use that, they're insane, because it's horrible.
Awesome. Do you guys remember, like, I guess it was just concept art, but the Sony's controller being, like, a boomerang shape?
Oh, yeah. God, Jesus yeah. Christ.
No, that wasn't a concept. That wasn't concept art. That was an actual concept.
That was the
right.
actual model, the original model. I think they had such
right. And then at that E3, Nintendo announced the Wii, and then at the next E3... Sony came back with their
new six axis.
I just think it's funny that, you know, Sony has for this entire console generation basically copied Nintendo.
Well, yeah, and the funny thing about that is, of course, they're like, no, we had this idea for a long time.
Of course. And then yeah, Microsoft so with the oh God, what are they called?
Avatars.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, they're like, we've had this Avatar thing going for a long time. You know, even though the Wii's a huge success and everyone in the fucking world owns one, they have them in India and they don't have electricity there.
we had this idea before they did.
Yeah, we had this idea first. We've been working on it for a long time.
But Sony and Microsoft's biggest disadvantage.
Maybe they did.
Well, I don't think so, but Sony and Microsoft's biggest disadvantage right now is that when you're trying to play catch-up and you're trying to add these as peripherals, you're not going to have a large install base. And we're talking about... We were talking last year, this is a 10-year system. They're at least a 10-year system. They're not going to be able...
Both the 360 and the PS3 are,
they're not
going to
be able to make another
system
for another 7 or 8 years, meaning that they're not going to be able to implement any of this effectively or they won't be able to really profit off of it for a good 7 or 8 years.
You think Nintendo's going to come out with a new system before that?
I think they'll come out with a system in 2 years.
Completely new?
I think they'll come out with a new system within a couple of years. Because all they have to...
Like, completely new.
Yeah.
All they really,
next gen.
All they really have to do is just make better graphics. And that's something that's relatively easy to do. You
basically just do what people are saying and make, like, a Wii HD. And
not
maybe
even that.
One that plays
DVDs. You can make... if they wait 2 years, they can make a 360-like machine for $200. Mm-hmm. And this is the whole reason they wait. You wait a couple years for the graphics to be enhanced. Mm-hmm. You don't put everything in a giant box and then sell it out instantly like Microsoft did, because like we saw in terms of 3D technology, in terms of 3D graphics, they haven't improved a whole lot. They are better, but they're not that much better than Mario Galaxy, right?
Say that again.
So you have a 360 game. The graphics...
No. The game.
Like
what
Mario
was the
game? Galaxy. Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy?
Yeah. So, because you still have... Mario Galaxy is still a really nice-looking game. It may not have the particle effects of Gears of War or Gears of War 2, but it's still a nice-looking game.
It's a gorgeous game.
You don't really need... It comes down to artistic value. How well your artists are, how well your developers are. It's not so much how much hardware, how much crap you can put it at once. And and other aspects of the game suffer as a result of that.
Hmm.
Well, and the other way of looking at it is that who cares about the graphics are the people our age, basically. You know, males in their 20s who grew up playing video games. Those
or even
are
just like
the
newer
who are,
crowds, like... I don't know, I guess like frat boys would be an example. Just people who normally
wouldn't play
video games, but are
and
now,
those,
because of
those
this
people
generation,
are our
playing
age.
Video games. Like the Halo
yeah,
crowd.
Yeah, and those people are... though. Yeah, exactly. And those people are the people who care about graphics. But the thing is that audience isn't growing. That audience is pretty much set. The people who don't care about graphics, but are playing the Nintendo Wii games and stuff, is the demographic that's growing, which is the, you know, your moms and your...
Gamers.
It's everybody else. Yeah, the people that play Tetris, the people that do normal game, regular games.
This is the market that's growing, and this is the market that doesn't give a shit about graphics. So, you know, when you can please both crowds by having, you know, modest graphics, or you can pretty much confuse one crowd in favor of another, as you know the modern consoles have been doing for a long time, but that the Wii has, you know, I think that's the difference between the Wii and the other ones, is the Wii is very accessible, obviously.
Well, especially at $250, it's a very, and it, the thing comes with a game, for crying out loud. That's a very attractive, a very appealing thing.
A game and, that you can play comes over with, and over and over and over and never get tired of.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is that the Wii comes with that game, and so you could theoretically, like, somebody
and
could
buy
the system
right,
to play Wii Sports.
Right, a lot
Wii
of people do that, is that they don't buy any games. They just play Wii Sports.
Yeah, and they still play Wii Sports.
And
the game's come out for 3 years now, and the people still play Wii Sports. It has such...
And these people aren't us, obviously. These people.
These are also
are,
the same people.
You know,
these are the same people that
they're older people
bought
or
Wii Fit.
Younger people.
And these are the people that are going to buy Wii Fit too. And
hey,
I'm not saying anything bad. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's actually. I'm calling.
Are
you
calling me
ass.
An old lady?
I'm calling you a fat ass.
An old lady with a.
Well,
fat
that's
ass.
True. Why else would I need Wii Fit? I'm getting winded being angry at you.
Let me take a break.
I gotta drink some mana energy potion. Hold on.
But and the other thing about the frat boy mentality, you know, people were praising Halo, you know, Halo 2, Halo 3. Number one, Halo 3 didn't look all that good, all that much better.
I don't know.
There's
they had
things,
some amazing lighting effects in that.
There's
game.
A little bit. There's little things, right?
It
there's
looks better
things.
to people who pay attention, like us.
Yeah,
not to
right,
the
right.
But to
the
but
masses.
To the regular public, it's not going to look that. They're going to be like, well, it's the same damn thing. I know parents that looked at Smash Brothers, the original Smash Brothers, and Melee, and they said, well, what the hell's the difference between the game? You know, they it looks the same, and I could see in the more general point that it's actually true. But then it's people that really pay attention to that stuff. But that's like the dumbest demographic you're talking about also. Because in terms of 360 graphics, you already have something that's a leg up. It's called PC gaming. You know, the graphics are already better for PC gamers. The difference is those guys actually have to build their machines, or they spend a lot of money on their machines versus the $400 and $500 for a console. But the console is—it's sort of just taken its play. It's more accessible, quote unquote. Because
it's a
plug and play kind of thing. But now it's gotten so complicated, also.
But that's what Adam is saying. I think about the Wii HD is that's really all you need. You need to take a Wii, maybe make the graphics slightly better, but be able to display at HD resolutions, and there you've pleased everyone.
And add DVD functionality. Please, Nintendo.
I don't know if they'll actually go that far. I mean, the
tech is in the system.
The
I'm
tech
sorry.
Is in
it's
the
system.
Oh yeah, of course.
But it costs money to license that.
Yeah.
That's just a thing of mine that I'm picky about.
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate complaint, but honestly, everything plays DVDs. Like,
yeah,
everybody already has
but,
a DVD
I mean,
player.
Like. For people our age, like college students, usually you're not going to have that much stuff in your room. So really all I have are my systems and a TV in my room. I don't have like a DVD player, so I use my systems as my DVD player. So
yeah, but you have a 360.
Yeah, but for the people who don't, like I didn't have a 360 until like a few months ago when they released
But you
the
have
60
a laptop
gig.
That plays DVDs.
Yeah.
It's not the same, though.
But there's also a lot of people that already own...
Yeah, but you...
There's a lot of college students that already have a DVD player anyway when they bring their systems
to... And if you can play it on your laptop, then, I mean, I guess that's like nitpicking. You know, I guess it sucks that you can't do it.
Well, I mean, I would rather
watch
have
a way
on,
of watching
like,
the movies.
A big screen than my laptop.
Of course you would. I would also like to have a giant, you know, 80-inch plasma in my room. But I have a regular TV, and I guess that's all right.
Nah, whatever. So...
There's something else. There's one saying? More... I guess one of the things I wanted to sort of add about this is, in terms of the state of the industry, I mean, the console, at least the PS3 and the 360, they are becoming very complicated machines. One of the appeals of a console was that it was a very simple thing. You plugged it in, and you just started playing. With a PS3 and 360, it doesn't seem like that case anymore. You have to update things constantly. You have to do this. You have to do that.
Well, the fucking 360 dashboard is a nightmare for me to...
Really?
Like,
I actually think the worst...
It's annoying.
The worst sin that they actually have done, and the number one worst thing, is they start patching games. That is the worst, absolute biggest sin that they could ever commit.
No, why? Well, I think it's good because they add content in.
If you add content, it's one thing. But if they're trying to fix games before they come out by putting a downloadable patch, that's unacceptable. Number one, you have a game, when you do it for a computer game, it's more than understandable. Everybody has different pieces of hardware. Everybody has different needs and different requirements, different specs for their to run those games.
Yeah, everyone has the same 360.
Everybody has the same 360. There's no... You know, what it means is that you don't need as much quality control, and when your players find something, oh, well, I'll fix it. I'll let you download something. They're giving you essentially a crappier product, a less refined product, because they know that they could, that people will buy it still, and that they can repair certain things online.
All right, well, I understand that obviously you would want something that's not broken to start off with, but you wouldn't rather have them not patch games, would you?
You wouldn't have this problem if you couldn't patch it to begin with.
Obviously, you want a game that doesn't need to be patched, but that's not going to happen a lot of the time.
Before the 360, when there was an Xbox and when there was a PS2, this did happen. This quality control did occur. Any time before this downloadable stuff, the ability to download patches came about, you always had a high level of quality. You never had a game that just sort of stopped in the middle because you couldn't find a key that didn't exist. You never had anything like that. If that game went into market, the company would go bankrupt. The developer would go bankrupt. Now you actually have this kind of thing happening. Wasn't it Heavenly Sword? There was one point you couldn't go on into the game because they forgot to code in the actual key to move on.
Oh, God.
Right? That's unacceptable. That's plain stupidity, and that's plain unacceptable.
It's not only bullshit, but it's worse. Like, I could see them patching multiplayer stuff, because that makes more sense to me, because multiplayer stuff always needs to be refined. But not everyone who owns a system has it hooked up to
the
internet.
That's the other... That's the thing. And that's another good point.
That's a good point, yeah.
But if you're trying to... It also starts, for some reason, it seems like they're starting to really skimp out on certain things here. They're taking really advantage of consumers. You're starting to have to pay for stuff that you didn't really have to pay for before, and you're starting to, additional content. Okay, that's great at first, because you're actually getting something more. But then you're starting to get shorter and shorter games, and you have to download these things later on to add on to it.
Well, what pisses me off is, okay, Fallout 3 has come out with expansions, right? And they're cool. They add content, but each one costs $10. They've already come out with 4 expansions. So basically, if you want to play all the content,
twice.
You already have to pay $100 fucking dollars for
the game. Alex, what did you think about the Resident Evil 5 downloadable stuff?
I forget
what it was, but I remember you talking about it.
The multiplayer,
because
you had to pay for the versus multiplayer.
Oh, you had to play for fucking versus mode. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And it's something that's come... The assumption is that what I expect is that when you buy a game, especially with multiplayer functionality, something like versus mode comes with the game. When I bought Doom 2, right, it came with multiplayer.
Well, it's not only that. If you're going to add it in, if you're going to go, okay, here's your versus mode, why the fuck do you make people pay
Why are you adding
it?
Why are you making it as a quote-unquote add-on? It's not an add-on. It's something that you expect in the game because you actually have multiplayer in there. Or you've already... It's not like you put it in a couple months later and because somebody said this was a great idea. Somebody actually came up with this instantaneously. They were making this alongside with the game. And then they decided, hey, why not? The development of the game costs so much. Why don't we separate the costs? So anybody else who wants to play this, we'll just tell them to pay another $5. And gamers are stupid. The consumers are stupid, right? People say it's only $5. People say Xbox Gold subscriptions only $50 a year. So it's not a whole lot of money. But that money adds up. There's these little costs for games to get a little more out of it.
But, I mean,
for
Xbox, you need to have an Xbox
subscription. A subscription to play games online for games that already let you play online.
That's not really...
It's not fair at all.
That's not really fair to call people stupid for buying that, though. I mean, if you want to play on Xbox, you have to have it.
Like they have this knee-jerk reaction. What's stupid is that people don't question it. They automatically assume, well, you know, they have this online thing and they need to pay for it, and that's not a big deal. Well, that's not true. I don't remember Steam having me pay extra money so I could play on their servers. I don't remember any, you know, Parallax when that was.
Do you guys know why exactly players are charged for that? Like,
it's a good.
What is
for
it?
For Xbox?
What
because
does it pay for?
Microsoft hosts all the servers and all the voice chat.
So does it pay for
but
that?
The thing is.
Does it pay for that?
Yeah, supposedly. I mean, that's really what you're paying for. But to me, it seems like either that service should be cheaper because it's...
I don't know. You
it's
can,
like $8
a
month.
You can find it pretty cheap now. Like, Toys R Us usually has 13 months for, like, $35, which is much better than, you know, $50 for 12 months,
yeah.
Which is what it's supposed to be.
But also... The other thing is that if you're going to make people pay for it to play online,
it's
that's
one
really
thing. Yeah,
yeah
it's
because
one thing for
no...
something else, but it's to play games online
for something
they,
extra.
You know, it's the silver membership is completely fine, and you know, it's for you to buy stuff. So they let you use their server to buy stuff, to take up bandwidth to buy stuff, but they won't let you use their server to play games, which is why you bought the system in the first place.
Right,
it's a money. It's obviously a money making scheme. They're doing this so that they can get more money in their pockets because they've been losing so much in the games.
Well, now Microsoft is the only company that really does this. Both Sony and Nintendo don't charge you like monthly or yearly fees for playing online.
Oh, here's some other bullshit that they need to fucking get rid of that both Microsoft and Nintendo do, is making their stupid points only be able to buy chunks instead of being able to, okay, this game is 800 points, let me buy the fucking game with my credit card. Not, this game is 812 points, now I have to buy a 916-point card.
I've heard a lot of complaints
about
Sony's
points
system,
left
too,
over.
How basically you end up with, like, just nickels and dimes that you never end up using.
Well, the thing is that I'm not familiar with that, that's why I'm not complaining about it. But I'm sure their system is fucked up too. Like, to me, that's so fucked up that you can't just buy a game with your credit card. It's like I'm willing to give you money.
I think on my Sony account, I have like 49 cents that I used. It's so stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I have like 240 points left on my Xbox. Like, what is that 40 points going to buy me? Nothing. That's 40 points means nothing there.
Nothing, but Microsoft doesn't care because you've
already
given them your money. So.
And that's not what Matt's saying.
It's bullshit.
In a larger context, the reason why, and part of the detriment to, I think, quote-unquote gaming in general, is that it's been sort of hijacked by these big companies. You have a company like Sony and Microsoft. You know, one of the reasons I really like Nintendo is because it's sort of still a mom-and-pop shop. It's one of the biggest companies in Japan. It's basically the IBM of Japan. But it's run in a way so that it's very traditional. It thinks a lot about the consumer. With Sony and Microsoft, it's like they're trying to get every little dime out of the consumer, trying to take advantage of them at any point possible. I really don't get that kind of impression on Nintendo so much.
Let me just tell a quick story here. While I was in Japan, I went to Kyoto, and I went to the three Nintendo buildings there. Two of them are obviously the new ones, and then I went to the old headquarters, which was where they developed the... I'm sorry if I butchered the pronunciation, the Hanafuda cards. And so I was standing there for a while, and it's basically in just like this really random suburb in the middle of nowhere. And so there were just people walking by, and at one point there was a group of people walking by, and like I was taking pictures, so they looked over and noticed me. They looked at the sign on the building. It's just this really, really small building, and they're like, oh, this is Nintendo headquarters. I'm like, ha-ha, that's funny because they didn't already know that. So continue, I'm sorry.
I think I already made the point, though. I mean, it's Sony and Microsoft, like the stuff we're talking about, the point system, that's all the systems. But in terms of the online, the having to pay online, the exorbitant cost for their system. Sony's arrogance in saying that, you know, people should pay $250 for the PSP Go because, you know, we made this product. What was their excuse?
It's new.
Because it's new. And because...
It's a high-quality product.
It's because people are willing to pay extra money for something that's new.
Remember what people said when Sony said when the PS3 came out? You should save up for that $600. Who the hell says that? What kind of company goes out and says, tells their consumer and treats them like complete shit and says, you should save up money because our product is really special?
Yo, man, I'm going to get my PS triple once I get all five of my paychecks.
And look what really happened, right? I mean, people don't have much loyalty for it. The PS3s
really true.
PS3s are not going out in droves, right? If you treat your consumers like crap, the only people you get are the gullible ones, the ones that like your games, and that's about it. Your traditional consumer, your moms and dads, and then your 5-year-old kids, they're not going to buy a PS3, especially when you tell them you should save up your money.
Yeah, people aren't buying their PS3 for their family.
You're a company like Nintendo, and you actually try finding stuff that people will want to get, and you try and putting it in a certain context so that it's affordable for them. That's how you win over consumers. When you make high-quality products, that's how you win over consumers. When you're Microsoft and you have a giant box where the glue actually freaking melts, and then the system dies, and then you try buying them off with a 3-year warranty for a system, for a 10-year system, a system that's supposed to be around for 10 years, mind you, that's treating your consumers like crap. That's trying to play as a monopoly.
Right.
Well,
so here's a question. If, say, Nintendo, their new system were like $600, like, honestly, would you have bought it?
Oh, fuck no.
Nintendo's not really going to make their system $300 or $600 or whatever.
Well, just saying, like, if, like, the roles were reversed.
No.
If the Wii was $600, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
No, who the fuck would buy that? I wouldn't pay.
Honestly, I think I would.
I wouldn't pay that much for a system.
I could live without gaming. I mean, that's sort of thing. I could live with playing Super Nintendo games for the rest of my life and GameCube games. Go ahead.
I could build a pretty good computer for $600,
and that can do
more than play video games.
Yeah. Even a Blu-ray player. I mean, I don't fucking have an HDTV in my house. Most college students don't have HDTVs in their dorm rooms because they don't actually get HD channels in their dorm rooms.
Right. My friends have a 60-something inch HDTV. He got it from his grandpa for like only $200 because his grandpa was getting a new HDTV, a bigger HDTV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So that's where we go to play games.
My grandpa's dead. Ha! Anyway,
so there. In your face.
He's not getting HD TVs in hell.
You're horrible. You never know.
Well, it's interesting. We see where the industry is right now, but how do you guys think that... What do you think the future will hold?
Yeah, that's something I'm particularly interested in, especially now that... Microsoft and Sony are trying to get the casual audience as well. So, like, you know, a bunch of people are wondering, are games actually going to be shifted more towards the casual audience, and then we're going to end up losing, like, all these quote-unquote quality hardcore games?
Well, they're not really quality. I think we should clarify this. They're not really quality.
Right.
Most of these games are complete shit that people buy anyway.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I think that's already started happening with the Nintendo.
Games.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're just seeing a different type of throwaway game. The people who are making the throwaway games on the Wii would still be making, a few exceptions, but most of these people would still be making throwaway games, except instead of being party games, they'd be first-person shooters on the 360 or whatever.
Hmm.
Like, you're just going to see, maybe at first, some of the party games or whatever will be bad, some of the family games. But you're gonna quality companies will make quality games.
Okay, well, say Natal and the Sony ones do catch on and they stick, and people actually start developing for them. What do you think is going to happen to games at that point?
You'll probably have the same thing happen at first. I mean, if the these are obviously geared for the casual gamers.
Well, if the developers who've been making games for the Wii start developing for these other systems, I don't think that's going to be the case. Because, I mean, they've already had... Not as much as we've seen, at least, is
that you're not... No matter how successful the Natal and the Sony, whatever the fuck, it doesn't have a name yet, it's not gonna... It's never gonna have 100% install base. It's not even gonna have anywhere close to that. The Wii Remote has 100% install base.
Right.
So when you're developing a game for the Wii Remote, you don't have to worry about, if we were making a regular game for the Wii, regular controller. Well, like I said earlier, the Wii Remote is a regular controller. So I think even if we're posing a hypothetical question, it's kind of a dumb lead nowhere hypothetical question, because nobody's gonna be developing any big blockbusters for the Natal, because it's never gonna have the install base that the regular Xbox 360 controller has. So being realistic about it, unless and Microsoft announces that in 2 years the next Xbox is coming out and it's gonna be Natal only, then we'll have to worry about that question. But I think the question we have to worry or that we should consider now is that not just about the cameras, because the camera is just one way of approaching the casual audience. The other way is, you know, Microsoft has been doing this one versus 100 stuff and like these games, these like family friendly games that they've been releasing on Xbox Arcade, and like that one with the button. What was the button one? It was like a quiz show. Yeah, like
I think we need to think about the problem with that is that the consoles are already still expensive. We're talking about $300 consoles. With Natal, it's going to be even more money.
Yeah,
at least $350 to $400. Sony's got an even bigger problem. This was it $400 just to start off with, $400 to $500.
Oh, here's something. The controllers. They are going to cost a lot, because when the Wii Motion, well, the Wii Motion Plus is out, but now the whole Nintendo controller, let's see, $40 for the Wiimote, $20 for the Nunchuck, and $20 to $25, depending on where you buy it, for the Wii Motion Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, that's $85 about.
Yeah.
And then how much are the other ones? The wireless 360s are $60, I think. And then I'm not sure about the PS3 controllers.
Well, yeah, because... Yeah. Well, the wireless 360s are $50, but then you
have right, to use then you need, right, the then AA's. You need the rechargeable batteries.
You want the play and charge kit. So I think it's like $70 for a play and charge kit.
Which is sort of ridiculous. Or how much are PS3 controllers? At least Nintendo don't understand. The R&D is why the thing costs so much money. A wireless 360 controller should not cost $70.
Still, it does. Well, it is a valid complaint that you have to pay $85 to get one controller.
It's a valid complaint, but I think it's more understandable from their point rather than a regular controller. Because I don't remember the original Xbox controller costing more than $30.
I think it's a valid-ish complaint, but really, I'm not exactly sure how many people are going to be needing 4 Wiimotes plus 4 Nunchucks plus 4 Wii Motion Pluses. Like, what game needs all...
Well, for me, personally, like, for the GameCube, I had 4 GameCube controllers at any one point in time. Because,
yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. Having 4 Wiimotes is good enough by themselves, because I'm pretty sure...
Well, it depends on where the games go. Well, I
think the Wiimotes are also more personalized, right? So most of your friends already have a Wii, and they want to carry around their avatars in there, the little Miis.
How many people actually do that, though?
I do. I do, at least.
Of course you do.
Well, I mean, if I go to a friend's house that has a Wii, I usually bring my own controller. Most of
right.
us.
Right. I mean, that's understandable. But for the people who don't have Wiis, you know, however few that may be nowadays, but like, I don't know.
How many four-player games are we talking about here? I mean, even
that's
even a game,
true.
Even a game like Wii Sports, you can still play bowling with one controller, I believe. You don't need four controllers to play the game. In terms of the current, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, but the current model for high production games is not holding. Mm-hmm. It's not holding well. I mean, there's very few games that actually do very well, and most of those games are.
Well, what most do you define as very well?
So most games in general, most hardcore games, require a lot of movies, require a lot of sound value, a lot of extraneous things that people associate with being quote-unquote a good game, which I actually find a little bit odd. But those cost the companies a lot of money to produce, right? There's a reason why there's a lot of the throwaway Wii games. It's because they're easy to make and people will still buy them. And they're actually sort of fun mini games. They're not actually all that terrible. But when you're putting something that's at least 20 hours together and has an extensive story and has a full-backed orchestra and has voice actors, that's going to be quite a bit of money for any company to put together. It's several millions upon millions of dollars for just development of a single game. And seeing that not everybody's going to pick up every freaking game because it's $60 a piece, most of the games are going to fail. And when most of those games fail, those companies suffer large losses. I think this is why we have we only have like EA and Activision and Ubisoft left. They're big companies that have a few really big hits, but they have the most of their games end up showing poorly. They don't really make any profit off of them. And it's just an unsustainable model. If your company cannot make money from most of their products, then there's no reason for them to actually produce it. And that's why they're going more towards the quote-unquote casual gamers.
Right. So, like, on the opposite side, let's talk about all these companies making really, really quick cash-in titles. What do you guys think about that?
So that's shit, too. I mean, the only problem there is they're making money, but they're not making that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so
does it seem like did they really do this a lot whenever we had like the GameCube and the PlayStation 2 and stuff like that? It seems like they've come
were,
out with
just
a lot
people
more of these
weren't buying
recently.
Them.
It's
I mean,
the same
they were just
happened
like
with
really,
the NES
really
also,
remote
yeah.
titles.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be really, really remote, like quick cash-in titles. I mean, I guess the term cash-in only applies to this generation, but just these really remote titles that nobody's going to buy. But, you know, now that people have found this party model, now that people have found this party model that works so well on the Wii, it's just really easy to copy it. And even on the DS, like, Ubisoft making all these freaking Imagine games. I hate Ubisoft so much for doing this. Just basically copying Nintendogs and placing every animal of the animal kingdom, including babies, human babies, into this model. And, oh, Jesus. That's a whole nother podcast. But,
it's not...
So, yeah.
I don't think that's not going to be a... If it is a sustainable... It might be a sustainable model, but I don't think it's going to get them anywhere. So,
right.
It doesn't progress anywhere. There's a happy medium between the two, and there are companies that succeed. You look at companies like Nintendo, you look at companies like Valve and Blizzard. Those three companies still make high production games that are very good. They're not so crazy with the production that it gets them bankrupt, right? And it's almost like the gameplay for them is number one. The gameplay and the story is number one. Everything
right,
else,
and that's another thing I wanted to talk about is what do most players consider to be a good game? Is a game good because of the gameplay or because what seems to me to be the similarities to a movie?
It depends
just
on
like,
what type of gamer.
Yeah.
I right.
Mean, what
but,
what?
Which do you think is the majority right now?
Obviously gameplay. You know,
really,
nobody,
you think so?
Oh, well, okay, Wii Fit is like what
for the casual audience, that's obvious, but like for everybody else.
Oh, for everyone else too.
That's why GTA 4 has sold really well. That's why Halo has sold really well. Even
because of the gameplay or because of the similarities to a movie?
I think it's because it's a good game. There's a lot of games that have similarities to a movie that have really good high production values and they just blow.
Yeah, the like gameplay just remember that game, really The Getaway? Poorly. The Getaway had really good production values and was like, people compared it to like a Guy Ritchie movie. And it was, it did have a pretty good story, but the game was clunky as hell and terrible. And nobody bought it. Like it was a modest hit at best.
I think the thing is, you need at least a basic game. There's a game has to have a certain quality of gameplay for it to sell. Once it gets to that point, then other things take more precedence. So if a game has really bad gameplay, no matter how good the movie is, or no matter how good the voice acting is, or how the music is, it's not going to sell well at all. But if a game has decent gameplay, good gameplay, good design, but then has awesome graphics and has awesome ideas, then it'll start selling really well. A Far Cry is another. What was it? Far Cry and what was the other? Crysis are great examples of this. They're not very good games. Crysis especially is not all that great, but it has some of the most beautiful graphics to date. Mm-hmm. But people didn't really play the game. You know, it was a throwaway title almost. And
well, a lot of people don't have computers that can really do it justice.
No, but people with the systems played that game anyway because they either downloaded it from somewhere or they got it from a friend. You know, it's not like they actually went out and actually bought the game. But yeah, I mean, when you have a basic quality of a game, when you have basic, you know, a game is playable and it's actually fun to play to a certain level, then it doesn't, at that point, everything else takes precedence. Everything else is what people look for. How much that other production value still matters. But at its core, a game is still a game. People buy it to play the game. Right? I think MGS...
Yeah, like a...
Metal Gear Solid 4 Geometry didn't Wars? Exactly do all that well, or not as well as Sony probably hoped. Probably because it had, like, what, 6 to 8 hours of movie? And people didn't...
I don't think it was that long.
It was some...
Yeah, but come on, if you're buying Metal Gear Solid, you're
still expecting to play a game. You're not... it gets to a point where it's... What's the point of actually buying a game when you could watch a movie? And it's far cheaper to watch a movie.
I think that it didn't... I think Metal Gear Solid 4 didn't do that well because not a lot of people owned Sony, a PlayStation 3, and it was a PS3 exclusive, so...
Yeah, like, that's I'm kind of curious opinion. If it will do any better if and when it comes to 360.
Yeah.
I don't think MGS 4 will come to 360. You think it will?
Maybe.
Oh, no, just the sequel, which is retarded if that happens.
We'll see.
I know, yeah.
So you have to play this other game to understand it, but you also have to own a PS3 to play
it,
so...
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Great business decision. So yeah,
there we go. Games are headed downhill. Next year, no more video games.
What do you guys think about like the economy and video games? Because like a lot of people were saying that like the video game industry was recession proof, but fairly recently it's seen that it's not at all.
Well, they had a lot of problems to begin with. We were talking earlier about how much money it costs for them to make games. EA and Activision were still losing money in some cases, even though the game sales were really high. Obviously, it's not recession-proof. I mean...
Nothing's recession.
Nothing is recession-proof.
I'm recession-proof.
I think the question is how long you're in a recession for before it starts hitting your product. Like, McDonald's does really well... initially, but it's going to get to a point where people have to really save more money, and they can no longer go to McDonald's.
Never.
Well, if you can't eat at McDonald's, where are you going to eat?
Well, you can start cooking. You know, there's even cheaper ways.
Cooking?
There's even cheaper means of actually...
In order to cook, we need to get cooking Navi for the DS. So that'll go back to the video gaming industry. So as McDonald's goes down, there's a direct correlation between the food industry and the video gaming industry.
Anyway, I just want to say this before, well, I can.
Oh, God.
Barack Obama is trying to make healthcare for free. Why doesn't he make video games free? That's more important to me. So I don't know, Barack Obama, you're probably listening to this over the White House. or the Black House, as it should be called now.
No, Jesus, man.
The half White House, okay? The mulatto house.
Stupid.
Oh, we're not going to get arrested.
Just, why don't you kick back a little of that money that you use it for the war? Why don't you make video games cheaper?
Yeah, screw the safety of our country. You
why do you care? Why do you care about healthcare? Why do you care about... What the fuck... you care about, you White House fat cats.
Oh, anybody that says that the video game industry is recession proof, they probably have no understanding of what economics is. It's sort of lack foresight, especially when you're making we keep on coming back to this, when you're making $400 consoles that people have to buy to, you know, of course your sales are going to tank. Actually, the only company that seems to still be doing well is Nintendo in terms of sales. If I remember correctly...
That's because their console is so cheap to make that they're still making profits off
of it. Yeah, and it's $250. Anybody could afford... People could afford that.
Right, and that's pretty much what... Oh, God, what do they call it? Oh, my brain is not working today. Anyways, continue. I'm sorry. I'll say it if I think of it.
And I think that's why they don't really need a price cut right now, because people are still buying the consoles.
Exactly.
The people that are criticizing Nintendo for it are looking at purely in a technological standpoint. They sort of don't grasp how economics really works here, and what they also don't understand other people's values. So the value system is not so much graphics; it's how much fun a game is, and that's what the casual gamer is more interested in. They don't care how nice something looks on the screen. What they deem as quote-unquote fun as worth the price of a video game is dependent on how much enjoyability, how much action there is.
Nintendo has said a few times that they're trying, like, the reason they're making all these casual games is to get these people who never play video games to become more like the video game mass that's already there. So, like, do you think that these people who are playing casual games are eventually going to become more like the hardcore demographic, or that they're going to stay casual gamers forever?
I think they'll stay casual for the most part.
It's hard to tell. It's pretty much impossible to predict something
the
like
rampant.
That.
Obviously, you just get a DeLorean and go into the future to tell.
Shut the fuck up with your DeLoreans, okay?
1.21 gigawatts?
Yeah, according to DeLoreans, we're supposed to have fucking hoverboards. And
modified
I can't
ones.
Even
you have to pimp it out.
I don't even know how to skateboard. How am I supposed to ride a hoverboard?
I think the ramp is too high. I mean, in terms of what's considered a hardcore game, it's too high for most casual gamers to jump from, you know, playing Wii Fit.
And it's also a time thing.
It's also a what?
It's a time thing.
It's also a time factor.
Did you say time? Time, okay.
Yeah. Hardcore gamers are generally people with a lot of free time, willing to devote it all to video games.
That's true.
Actually, what I think
like you, Matt?
What I hope will happen, and this would definitely appeal to somebody like me, is that if you have... I think more casual gamers will start getting into games, and they'll start using it as, you know, they'll start playing it a little more regularly. If they start playing more games like Mario Galaxy, or New Super Mario Brothers, or Ratchet and Clank, you know, they're more accessible platforming games for everybody. You play a couple missions, you turn it off, and they're very easy for everybody to play.
Right, so it doesn't take a long time to do one thing.
Yeah. I think the ideal situation for everybody, including the hardcore, is that if they start developing those kinds of games for more of those kinds of games, you have less of the hardcore, you know, 100-hour RPGs, and you have more of these types of casual. They're not even casual. They're like gamer games. They're like what it used to be, when the Super Nintendo was out, when even the N64 and PlayStation were out. That might be what will end up happening. Right now, you have this huge rift where you have these really hardcore games that require several hours of play, and you have these really, you know, cheap little games, but you don't really have a whole lot of those middle games in the middle, including like the Mario Galaxy games. But hopefully, that will start saturating that market, and you'll have less of the extremes coming out.
Mm-hmm. So.
What happened? Yeah. Is he still there? Is Adam still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is Alex still there? Oh, you.
What do you guys think about?
Wait, how long has this been going, guys?
A little more, like an hour and a half, maybe.
What? Don't you think this is a good place to cut it? If we're trying to make it shorter.
We don't have much more to talk about. I think I just have one more thing. So we were talking about like the companies who do these really easy cash-in games. What do you think about the companies who take risks and actually put like a lot of time into their products? Say like No More Heroes or The Conduit or...
What do we think about them?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fucking awesome and I hope more people do that.
Well, then the problem is that usually... I'm not sure about The Conduit, obviously, because it's new, but like for these titles in the past, not a lot of people have bought them. I mean, they're barely even passable as cult hits.
But the thing is, about No More Heroes is fucking weird, and not everyone wants to play it, and it can get really hard, and the city missions get really fucking boring. The Conduit, the problem with that is, they made a really awesome first-person shooter for the Wii, but most people who... want to play it are people who, you know, play Halo. You know, why the fuck would you want to play it?
I disagree with that. Like, I think the people who would like Halo maybe would not be buying The Conduit.
But the people who like Halo are people who like first-person shooters. You know, if you like first-person shooters, then...
Like, I guess if you're open to all first-person shooters and you're not just like, oh, Halo is the only first-person shooter I play. Like, if that's the genre of game that you like, then yeah.
Well, if you like first-person shooters, you're going to want to buy The Conduit, and when you're going to compare it to Halo and stuff. And so if you have a 360, and that's the problem, is that The Conduit, while probably a good game, is in the same genre as Halo and Call of Duty and stuff. So while it is something different... most of the people who are interested in those type of games will probably already have a different system to play those type of games on.
I think those type of games probably don't do as well on the Wii, because I think it all goes back to the Wii. Like, I think a lot of people who buy the Wii buy it for like their kids and stuff like that to play, you know what I mean?
But then the Wii owners say,
I just said that.
Like, I don't mean to point anybody out, but like Dave, who say like, you know, I've had my Wii for 2 years, and I haven't touched it for, like, 1.5. And so those are the people who are wanting quality games on their Wii, and, you know, companies are finally developing these really good games that they spend a lot of time on, and nobody really buys those games.
It's because they have another 360 or PS3 and they could already get
the people who are complaining like
they're the immature groups, right? They're the types of people
they're never going to be pleased. They're fanboys.
They'll never be happy no matter what you do. It's a stupid complaint to make. You know, if you had a system for that long, you're not playing games for it, and if you're not even playing your older games for it, you might as well sell it. And all you're doing then is just bitching on a forum.
We love you, Dave.
I don't.
But demographic do you honestly think?
Dave.
What is the
Fuck
largest
him.
Age demographic that owns a Wii?
Oh,
I mean,
it's huge.
You know what I mean?
Oh, but you mean like the biggest? Okay. Probably. I don't know. That's a good question.
It's
actually
probably still our age. It's probably still 18 to 20.
You think so? Really?
I think it's still between the 18 and 24 year olds. But I don't think.
Hold on. Our age.
Well.
Laura's
like 50. She's like 55
years old.
Shut up.
It's probably like teens to early 30s.
Yeah, it's still probably the largest, but it's probably not as... the difference between that age group and all the other age
isn't
groups
as big as they were.
Yeah, it's not as significant.
Yeah.
In terms of...
Well, there's got to be some explanation as to why these types of
games... Well, that's... Okay, so something like No More Heroes is a fringe game. It's not a... Like you guys had said, Matt had said, it's not a game everybody will buy anyway. If it went on to the 360, it probably wouldn't have done that well.
So are you guys saying that the reason these aren't selling is because other games from the same genre are available on other systems?
I think in terms of... No More Heroes is weird. If it's something like The Conduit, that might be the case. We don't know about Conduit sales. If it's No More Heroes, you had Killer 7 on PS2. It didn't sell all that well either. What I would consider a game like No More Heroes, Mad World would fit into that category.
Right.
But you have games like Ico and also Shadows of the Colossus, which are highly revered games, but they didn't sell all that well. Okami is another great example. Okami didn't sell all that well on the PS2. And that's because it's...
Which is sad, because that's a good game.
It's a great game, but it's a fringe game. It's something that people more interested in playing games go for, but it's not the frat. The guy from the frat is not going to play something like that.
Right.
And so no matter what system you put some of these games, even Mad World, I would even argue that not a whole lot of people would have played it, even if it came out on PS3 or 360.
Mm-hmm. It's just... And that's another thing
because...
That's another thing is that these games are really, really good games for the Wii, but if they were on another system, do you think
the quality is still there.
They would be considered as good?
Yeah, I think something like Mad World, definitely. I think Mad World is like a 9 out of 10 game. It's, if you compare it to other systems, it's definitely a really, really good game. It's just that, number one, there hasn't been any fucking advertisements on TV or
anywhere.
That's
true.
Of course it's not going to sell that well. No More Heroes.
The Conduit does have a commercial, which I was happy about.
Yeah, so you...
I think The Conduit will sell pretty well.
I hope so.
I think The Conduit's going
we'll
to be a pretty
see.
Big
I
deal.
Mean, part of the problem is advertising. Nintendo's games sell well. You know why? Because Galaxy had a commercial. Zelda had a commercial for it. Punch-Out has a couple funny commercials for it. And I think Punch-Out still is selling pretty well. Part of it has to do with advertising, and part of it has to do with appeal. I think it's sort of a faulty argument that people are making, just that, well, the Wii is just for people, for everybody else, not everybody has one. Even if you're a 22-year-old, you probably still own a Wii because it's so cheap for you to get. If you can afford a PS3, you could probably afford a Wii. You just have it anyway. People will still be inclined to buy, especially there's not really that many games out right now, so they still may go out and say, well, let's get a Wii game. There's a couple other things than just what console it's for. There's also just the appeal of it and what group it is for. Anytime I hear the No More Heroes argument, I really start to cringe, because I'm like, Killer 7, I've seen that game. And I didn't know anybody. I know one person that had the game, and he said it was all right.
Yeah, nobody bought that.
Yeah,
like
it's the same guys who made it, right? It's the same sort of weird concept, out there concept, and it's like making the assumption that, you know, every great game, every game that is worth its weight in gold, has come out, has done well on the PS2. That's definitely not true at all. That surely doesn't happen all the time. There are a lot of good games that people don't get, and it just doesn't appeal to them. It's not because of the system; it's the nature of the game. The audience isn't there for it. To answer this question, I think, I really think it's not the Wii itself. It's just the games that are out, and what we say is a good game. It hasn't sold very well. It's because of the types of games they are, not because of the quality, but because of the content. It's just a fringe game.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, just one more thing I'd like to bring up. Obviously, we are all very gung-ho for Nintendo. So what do you think would be the case if we had somebody else in here who maybe wasn't so fanboyish for Nintendo?
I'm not that fanboyish for Nintendo.
I'm not a fanboy at all because the only reason why I like Nintendo is because they continue to make quality games. Like, I'm not a little kid. I'm not, you know, I can buy any system I want. I'm not like, oh, mine's the best because my mom bought me a Super Nintendo or something. Like, I don't give a shit. I have a 362. I'd buy a PS3 if it was cheaper.
Yeah.
You know,
Same here.
I wonder if people who are the people who listen to this are going to think that we're like
fanboys,
it just
seems right?
Like we talk
exactly.
About nothing but Nintendo.
Exactly. That's why I brought
the whole
it up.
Thing.
Well, that's because Nintendo's not fucking up. Nintendo is doing really
like
fucking
we said earlier
right
in the
now.
Like we said earlier in the podcast, they've essentially won the generation. When you have Microsoft and Sony essentially saying, you guys were right, and we're actually changing our ideas so that we could fit your model. It says quite a bit in terms of who's actually going the right direction, who's paving the way for the future.
Yeah, exactly.
It still disappoints me that the 360, the technological issues haven't been solved. And it pisses me off that the PS3 doesn't have software, you know, the PS2 backwards compatibility anymore because they had to save costs. I mean, that sort of shit, that should enrage anybody. It's not a fanboyish thing. It's just you're being shortchanged by a certain company. That's something to be upset about. That's something to, like, say, this isn't right.
I think it's pretty fanboyish if you are getting mad at Nintendo for doing what they're doing.
If you're getting mad at a company because the games are quote unquote casual gamer games, number one, you're not getting angry at the right people. You should be angry at EA and Activision.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that are trying to cash.
Getting mad at Nintendo for doing good,
what?
Matt.
What?
You said. You said it's pretty fanboyish if you're getting mad at Nintendo for what they're doing, but you just said that they're doing good.
Yeah, well, people are getting mad at them for being like, why are you making Wii Sports instead of Zelda? They're not. Making Zelda still. They're fucking making Pikmin. They're making Mario Galaxy 2, but they're also making Wii Fit and Wii Sports. They're still Nintendo. Nintendo has never been quick about releasing games. They release a game
They're not being
very
rational about their argument. Part of the reason why Nintendo didn't come out with a big title in the past year is because, A, they already came out with their huge titles. They already came out with a Mario. They're going to come out with a second Mario. They came out with a Zelda. They came out with a Metroid. That's their biggest three, some of their biggest properties.
And Smash Brothers.
And a Smash Brothers. They came out with their big four properties within the first 2 to 3 years of the system.
Maybe
of course, they're going to have...
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. Go ahead.
Well, of course, they're going to have some sort of downtime. I think what they were hoping was that third-party developers would by now start making games 2 years ago to start being released now. It takes,
way to go, guys.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It takes at least a year or two for them to make a game, right? To make a high-production game. And when you look at in terms of time slots, all of this makes sense. It all really does fit. The fact that they're making another Mario and another Zelda to coincide with the next couple of years, that fits in the timeline how much time they're spending to start making these games. Mario, they probably started last year. They probably started the project last year.
Well, yeah. Like at the last E3, they said they were already making a Zelda and Mario, so at least that long.
Yeah, so it's not like they're ignoring the casual gamers. They're one single company making these games. Sony and Microsoft don't make a whole lot of their own games. Nintendo does. So to put it into rational context, that's what's happening. It's not Nintendo's fault. It's not because they're being kiddish. If you want to place blame, place in the right people. Activision's trying to make money off of people. Ubisoft's trying to make money off of people. EA is trying to make money off of people. They're trying to make quick cash. These are the guys you really want to get pissed off at.
I think maybe we just need to like clarify to whoever's listening that we, like Matt said, we don't just own a Nintendo Wii. You know what I mean? Like,
however,
Adam,
I will admit that I am a fanboy.
God,
Nintendo.
Everybody knows that, Adam.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Although
everybody.
I do have all of the systems like from the previous generation. I have almost all the systems like. period, before this generation. So really, the only one I'm missing now is a PS3.
Well, I would say it is different. I love Nintendo because I love Nintendo games, and like I bought a Wii first.
I was
day
the
so
first person
Zelda.
In line,
like that,
to get a Wii. I stayed outside for 5 days.
But in that capacity, I mean, it's just because they make good games. Like, I guess I'm also a Valve fanboy because I love every game Valve comes out, and it's not because it's a Valve game. It's because they make fucking awesome games, and they've never failed to deliver. Like, that's why I like Nintendo.
Well, it's like the difference of being a Pixar fan and a Michael Bay fan.
I guess.
Well, no, Pixar hasn't failed. You know, they always consistently make
right,
good
I know what you're trying to say, but right, this is a little extreme.
Well, I think the other difference is that you said you would pay $600 for a Nintendo Wii if it was that much money.
Yeah, I would. Honestly, I would. It would hurt, but I would do it.
The thing that kind of sucks right now is, like, you guys all own probably more than one next-gen system, right? Like, I own a PS3, I own a Wii, and Matt, you have a 360 and a Wii, and you do too, Adam, right?
Yeah.
Alex, do you have just a Wii, or what do you have?
Yeah.
I just have a Wii.
Oh.
I don't have...
But what have you honestly been playing? Have you been playing the Wii more, like, the past few months, or have you been playing your other system? Like, I honestly have been... I haven't really touched the Wii in a long time. My Wii.
Yeah.
I've been Wii. Doing work.
I don't...
I've been really...
Yeah, like me too, but I think... You've been doing I really work. Haven't... I haven't used the Wii that much, except for maybe Smash Brothers. Although I can't really think of games that I've been playing on the 360 either.
Yeah, I barely play video games. I just like to talk about them.
So in terms... It's a valid point, Laura. It's a very valid point that you make, that there's not that many games out for the Wii. But again... I wouldn't blame Nintendo for that. Nintendo has come out with their AAA game. Mm-hmm. They've come out with some of the highest rate. You know, you go on to game rankings, their games rank, you know, at least a 9.0, 9.5. They're very highly revered games.
However,
it's everybody else. Yeah, it's everybody else that hasn't done.
Yeah. Oh no. You continue. You're going to say what I was about to say.
Yeah, everybody else hasn't done that. When you put into comparison. Microsoft, they have Epic that's made Gears of War, they've had Bungie that's made Halo, they've had Rockstar that's made GTA 4, and then Konami, and you know, you have Capcom making Resident Evil 5. We're already talking about four different companies that have done that have made very good games for that one single system. Nintendo only has Nintendo so far doing it.
Which is, that's not really a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
It's not a good thing. It's not.
But it's not Nintendo's fault. Though.
Nintendo about it. It's something you say. Tell everybody else. Like, you guys should really be getting your ass on making a Wii game for people that actually own a Wii. Mm. And it's bad for the system. That's definitely something that you can't argue about. It's definitely true.
Well, I think eventually these shitty games will be getting decreasing returns to the point where, you know, you want to make a good game.
And then also I'd like to mention that Nintendo really, like, despite what people think, they really are, like, appealing to the hardcore fan base in that they're constantly working on all of these really good first-party games like Mario, Zelda, Metroid, whatever. But to have two of each of these games at least... on the same console, like, in one generation, that's incredible. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
So, it just takes time to work on these games, but, I mean...
You know, if there's anything to be critical about Nintendo about, it's probably has to do with maybe their appeal to third parties. I mean, that's about it. If you were to be very critical about, say, Sony and Microsoft, there's so much that they'd screwed up on in terms of their system that a lot of fanboys especially turn a blind eye to. Mm. The fact that the controllers are $60 a piece when they really shouldn't be, and there's no real reason for them to be. The fact that the 360 has the red ring of death and you're only getting a 3-year warranty when Microsoft itself said they want the system to last 10 years. That means you're going to have to pay for at least... one or two refurbished systems along with the one system you already have. You know, I mean, that's sort of ridiculous. The fact that Sony is making you, is telling you that you should save up money to pay for a PS3, this should be infuriating the consumer, but it's obviously not. It's infuriating the casual gamer so that they're not buying it. It's not infuriating the hardcore gamer that's willing to buy anything just because it comes out.
Mm.
It's almost like a blind faith almost that these people have.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how much crap that they, how much crap that they're getting, they still buy it. I mean, it's, and it hurts the industry in the end. Thank God, you know, I sort of look at it as Nintendo's actually doing a good thing by being the kink in the armor. It's forcing Microsoft and Sony to actually cut down their prices and to think about the other consumers.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so I think we're going to wrap that up here. All right. There's probably a lot more that we could talk about, but we've been going on a pretty long time. So obviously, there is a lot to discuss here, a bunch of different opinions from different people. So if you would like to write in and just talk about what we've discussed today, that would be fun, and maybe we could talk about it a little bit on the next podcast. So in order to do that, you can reach us either by our website, www.ztpsocialboard.proboards.com, or you could use the shorter link, which is just tinyurl.com/workingtitle, or you could email us at wtpodcast@gmail.com. And also, I would like to mention that so far we have 25 subscribers. Yay!
Whoa, that's a lot.
And also, if you have any questions about girl stuff, like if you're a lonely dude that wants to just why don't you just email us about that, and we'll have Laura,
new segment,
Dr.
Laura's sexy time.
Dr. Laura,
yeah, it's like Dr. Laura except less Jewish.
And then also I'd like to mention
and a little bit older.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'd like to mention that we are listed on a website now, aside from our own, so that's kind of cool. Quadruplez.com. That's Q-U-A.
It's quadruple Z, Adam.
Oh.
Quadruplez.
That works too. Oh, so Q-U-A-D-U-R-D-R-U-P-L-E-Z. P-L-E-Z, yeah, sorry. quadruplez.com. So, with that, we are going to head out. This is Adam, Working Title Podcast, Episode 8, and we will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Oh my god!
The robot voice is horrible.
Is it still?
It's even worse.
God.
It's actually pretty
cool. Can you just
cool.
say Red Leader?
Red Leader. Red Leader, come in. This is going to be old leader.
That's so
wait, wait, say Roger, Roger. Say Roger, Roger.
Roger, Roger, Roger.
That's so. You should go do a trench run. Laura? Are you open for a trench run?
God.
Shut up, Matt.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna open my mic. Right,
are you ready to put your proton torpedoes into the exhaust port?
Oh my god. I'm just gonna stop responding to you guys and you start being like 3-year-olds.
when a man launches his proton torpedoes into your exhaust port, do you explode? Laura?
No, Matt. I told you I'm not going to respond to you.
So you're saying you're incapable
of
exploding?
Wait, yeah. Yes, yes. No, yes, no. Maybe. I'm not going to give you a definite answer. No comment.
Okay.